for some reason, I've been drawn once again, as I was as a teenager, to reading a lot of poetry. Not the real fluffy stuff, but some of the great poets. And I've been reading Wendell Berry, who has a book of poems, and the work is called Sabbath. There is a piece in that book in which he speaks of a time when, if we honor God, then, as he says, the giver and the taker are joined. And then he says this, "Then workday and Sabbath live together in one place. Though mortal, incomplete, that harmony is our possibility of peace." And then he says, "It is a little song to keep us unafraid, and earthly music magnified in air." When we rest in God, finding Sabbath, we hear the strains of that little song, earthly music magnified in the air. Today in our Acts reading, we hear the story of Stephen, and I truly believe that he heard that music in his own life, especially in his last earthly moments. As the reading says, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, "Lord, receive my spirit." And then he says of those who are killing him, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." He must have heard and understood in the deepest part of himself something, some sense of the transcendent that allowed him to be in that moment and to think not only of God, but also of God's forgiving those who were hurting him. As the poet said, his harmony was mortal and incomplete, but it was very close to a total giving over of human flesh to the divine. And if you notice the way his story progresses, it very much parallels the story of Jesus' death. Now, that completion that the poet spoke of is something that Jesus told us about, that possibility of peace, when he said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Like Stephen, we find that place of untroubled hearts, that little song that keeps us unafraid when we love others, even to the point of forgiving those who hurt us and want to kill us. To love as Jesus loved is the way to bring to earth that little song that can keep us unafraid. Now, our gospel reading today is John 14, which is one of the most debated and quoted passages in Scripture, especially this verse, "I am the way and the truth and the life." One of the sources that I read this week put it this way and said, "Is belief in Jesus necessary for hope beyond death?" And that source went on to say that this line in John's gospel is often coupled with a line in Acts 4 to construct an exclusive doctrine of salvation. Acts 4 says, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." In other words, people who tie those verses together see that that says that we Christians are the only ones who are saved. It makes me sad that Christians and people in other faith traditions often seek God's approval so much that they want to marginalize and exclude the other people of other faiths, or they want to judge people who don't have enough faith. We spend an awful lot of time and energy and debate on who gets to be with God, who finds that hope beyond death, who gets to hear the little song. We keep asking these questions. Do those liberal people get to go? Do the conservatives get to go? Do the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Mormons? What about the Buddhists? What about the Muslims? What about the Jews? Do they get to hear the little song, or are they just stuck in this mortal, incomplete place without salvation, without grace? What about those who have never in their lives heard the name of Jesus, who therefore cannot claim Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. When we ask such questions, and we do it a lot, instead of finding peace in our relationship with Jesus, instead of learning to love and embrace all persons as Jesus did, we want to claim our Christianity as a status that gives us exclusive access to God. But even in our liturgy, we acknowledge that this is God's business and not ours. The prayers of the people in one form says this: for all who have died in the communion of your church, and those whose faith is known to you alone. It is not ours to judge who gets to go. It is ours to love one another. But then that begs the question of what does it mean when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life? If it doesn't mean that only those who declare themselves as Jesus' followers get to be with God, that question is one that is powerfully and movingly explored by a theologian named Karl Rahner. He explored this question in an essay, a long essay, that is called The Anonymous Christian. In that essay, that piece of theology, he says that any person who values rightness of action, morality over self-interest, turns the world upside down as Jesus did. A person who lives a life of love, of compassion, of mercy, of forgiveness, follows Jesus whether they know they are following Jesus or not. And in our reading today, Jesus has said, the one who believes in me will do works in my name. So those people who are loving and kind and put others ahead of themselves, whether they explicitly utter the name of God or Jesus at all, Rahner says all such people are anonymous Christians, not because they're anonymous to God, but because Jesus is anonymous to them. They invoke Jesus through actions, if not in words, every time they do right, every time they love, every time they forgive. All people who live in this way speak of God, perhaps not in words, but in actions. Our collect today helps us to see that that is a way of following Jesus, of loving others. The collect asks, in the collect we ask God that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. In other words, we love all persons. We respect the dignity of all persons. We seek and serve Christ in all persons, even if they don't know the name of Jesus Christ. We go back to hearing that little song when we hear the bottom line of life with God, which is, God is love. Because if we truly follow Christ, we love others without judging them. We stop worrying about who gets to go up the mountain, and we find in our own lives that union of mortal and immortal, of human and divine, of temporal and eternal. We love others and leave the deciding and judging to God. We hold out hope. If we love, we hold out hope that all are saved, not just the ones who think as we do. We know that God is a God of love, and we know that God would not exclude people from divine care simply because of when and where they were born or how many times they were born. When or where or even if they have ever heard the name of Jesus Christ. Those who love follow the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. They may not know this name for God, this name of Jesus, but they love as Jesus taught us to love. We know this name, and we pray that all who know will know Jesus, if not by name, then by their capacity to love. Jesus himself told us, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not trouble your hearts with the judgment of other human beings. Love and respect all human beings. Seek and serve Christ in all human beings, even those who have never heard of Christ. When we follow steadfastly in Jesus' steps, when we love others, when we seek God in other persons, we find that possibility of peace mentioned by the poet Wendell Berry. The giver and the taker are joined. Then work day and Sabbath live together in one place. Though mortal incomplete, that harmony is our possibility of peace. That harmony of our souls with all souls. That harmony of our souls with God. And then we begin to hear it. Somewhat muted, perhaps, but unmistakable. We hear it in the love of God, the love of others. We hear it. It's just a little song, but it's a little song that can keep us unafraid.